The Catholics of Oz is brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network and is made possible by our many generous patrons. If you'd like to support the podcast, please visit sqpn.com/give.
You're listening to episode 48 of The Catholics of Oz. The Catholics of Oz is a show where we discuss faith, culture, and what's been happening from an Aussie perspective. Whether it's synods or science, apostolates and apps, providence or productivity, you can hear it right now on The Catholics of Oz. Hello and welcome to episode 48 of The Catholics of Oz and our first episode for 2021. It's so good to be back behind the mics and to be sharing another episode with you and to start our run for this year. So joining me today is my lovely, wonderful New Year sister, Caroline Knight. Caroline, how are you going?
I'm great, Lindsay. How are you going?
I'm going really well, yes. And Lino's going to be absent today. He can't be with us. So it means, as always, that we can talk about him behind his back and then he can listen to it later on, which is really good. So we're looking forward to doing that. But Lino does hope to join us very, very soon in our next episode. So hopefully that will all happen. So it's just you and I, Caroline, to start us off. Our last episode was a Christmas episode. We were wishing everyone a Merry Christmas. So we're very happy to be back. So, Caroline, I think what we'll do is before we start the show, we just want to remind everyone to remember that if you are new to the show, The Catholics of Oz is on SQPN's Facebook page. So you can find us there at facebook.com/StarQuest Media. And you can also follow StarQuest on Twitter. Their handle is @SQPN. And if you're new to listening to The Catholics of Oz, you can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, or your favorite podcast player. SQPN also hosts The Catholics of Oz on YouTube, so you can subscribe there. And don't forget to hit the bell to get notifications when new episodes are released. And please, as always, on any podcasting platform that you are using, please leave us a lovely 5-star review, a positive rating. We'd love if you could do that. No bribes, no pressure. But if you do, it does help us to reach new people and to grow this community. And as always, reaching out to people, especially in these times, is a really important thing to us. Connecting with people, having this two-way conversation between myself and Caroline and anyone who's listening, that you're part of this conversation too. So we would love to have any new people on board. If you're new, welcome. If you've been with us for a while, we love you. Thanks for hanging in there, and it's good to be back with you again. So Caroline, before we start our topics, we thought maybe we should just give everyone an update on what we've been doing. So It's the summer break for us. There's less break now. People are starting to go back to work, but we're still in summer. Got a month and a bit of summer to go. But what have you been doing between our last episode and this one?
Well, unfortunately, I haven't been out of a full break because I still had to work, but it's only 3 days a week, so it's been okay. I've managed to fit in holiday, and we had a week off, when was it? A couple of weeks ago, so that was good.
It was your holiday week, wasn't it?
Yes, it was holiday week. I spent some of it with you. been visiting a few places where we've had my husband's birthday, my son's birthday. We've had my birthday, your birthday, your son's birthday. Our mum's birthday. So we decided that we would during holiday week, which was where the second half of the birthdays occurred, we'd do a few activities. So, where did we go? We went to, Maru Koala Park, didn't we?
That was fun. Yes.
We had a good time there. There's a lot of native animals and a mini golf course.
Mini golfing in the hot sun. Oh, my gosh.
It was really hot. It was really hot, but really fun.
Yes.
And the kids had a great time.
Yes, the kids had a wonderful time, yeah.
We kind of had to throw the scorecards away because after a while they were kind of redundant.
Yeah, I think the kids make up their own rules when it comes to mini golf. Yeah.
Plus you tried to soccer my golf ball into – that was funny.
Look, not in my defense, but you know, I have fully admitted my error on Facebook, and I did mention that I sockered your golf ball. But you know, everyone was making up the rules, so you know,
it was fun. I'm sure we can use our feet.
Yeah.
Yes. I may have moved my ball a couple of times, or you know, whatever. But yeah, it was fun. Yeah.
You know what I love about these places, though, is like you know, there are lots of families there with young kids, and we were behind that family and had a couple of kids and. There was one hole that was particularly difficult at the start where you kind of had to hit the ball up this hill, you know, so it would get to the right place. And this kid was like, one go, didn't work, two, didn't work. Yeah. You know, and his ball would roll away, we have to wait for him. You know, it's like, it took him about five or six goes before he managed to hit it up the hill. Yeah. That stuff is funny. Yeah.
But it's good that there were a lot of families because everybody understood that we all had kids and that we weren't going to be very quick. Like we were going to take our time. So everybody was very patient. Yeah.
And we
had
three kids in our group. So we're pretty guilty of that.
Few,
And then, I should mention a toddler, Alexander, who.
Yes. Yeah. Alex.
Yeah, he had all kinds of weird and well, he thought you could hold a golf club with one hand, with two hands, use your feet. Yeah. His other thing was to pick up the ball and just throw it at the hole. So,
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
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 Why not?
Yeah, so it was a lot of fun though, yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah.
And then what did we do? The other time we went to Werribee Zoo.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Zoo, which was so fun. That was actually on my birthday. And it was kind of like one of the best birthdays I've had. We actually spent literally all day there. And I think we didn't leave till what time?
About six-ish, about six in the evening. Yeah. They left it open till 8 o'clock, but I think most people have just decided to leave and we had it almost all to ourselves. Yeah.
And we hung around.
Yeah.
But it was so good because we ended up watching the lions, lionesses being fed.
Yes.
And health checked, which was so good because the trainers make them do all these things like standing up and opening their mouths and all that. And then they feed them a piece of meat and, they were so beautiful. And, there were two mother lionesses and four cubs. They had two cubs each. I mean, they were grown. They were
grown up cubs, but
small, but they were so beautiful. What else happened? A giraffe
stopped up to a bus and walked in the way and just hung
and
around and took
out
its
the
time.
Gate.
Yep. Yep.
And then as we drove off, he kind of turned his head back at us.
Oh,
saying,
that head tilt. Yeah, that really snobby. Okay, you can go now.
You can
I'm
go
you.
Now. So I've had a good look. You can go.
Yeah, that really relaxed. Like, look at his you can go now. I'm done with you. So, yeah.
I don't know. I had flashbacks to watching Madagascar, you know, the giraffe in Madagascar. It's like he had the same personality.
Yeah.
And then, we saw the meerkats and then we saw, the hippopotamus.
Oh.
Hippopotami, how do you say it? And
more than one hippopotamus.
Hippos.
They were great.
And then we actually met had a good long chat to one of the zoo, one of the staff there looked after the hippos and did a few other things at the zoo, which was amazing because we made friends with her, which was great.
Yeah. We spoke to her for, it must have been an hour to an hour and a half. And that was one of the highlights of the whole trip. I remember we saw the lions and, you know, when you see lions at a zoo, usually they don't do very much unless they're getting fed.
Yeah.
So we were really fortunate that they were, the staff had come to feed them and, you know, do all the things with them. So we had very active lions, which was great. And I was saying how amazing that was. It was so cool. But then after talking to this this staff member, she's South Sudanese. She was telling us her stories.
She grew up in Africa as a child and had experience with the wild animals herself.
Like close-up experiences, we can't tell all the stories because there's so many, but one thing she was saying was that you know, they would sleep in their hut, you know, the whole family. Everyone there, she said the men would sleep on the edges and, you know, everyone else would stay in the middle. And lions at night would walk past, looking for a feed, not on humans necessarily, but looking for food and whatever. And their grandmother would wake them up and teach them to learn the smell of the lions and smells of other animals. So even when they were out doing what they needed to do, they would know if there was a lion or a particular animal nearby just by smell. Oh, my gosh. This woman was amazing. And we spoke to her literally for an hour to an hour and a half. We just,
we connected on social media. So next time we go there now, we know we've got a friend at the zoo, which is awesome.
Yeah, we have a friend at the zoo, she was wonderful. And I remember walking away with you afterwards saying, that was better than the lions. That was, just chatting with her. Yeah.
It was great. Yeah. I don't think I've ever had such a good experience there. Like we've been there a couple of times before, but that was by far the best experience. It was a totally wonderful day. It was really great.
Yeah. I've been there twice to Werribee Zoo and I've had two unique experiences, you know, but like really great experiences. But that day with you and your family, Yeah, that was like the most active animal day I've ever seen. It was so good. Yeah,
it was. Usually they're all asleep because it wasn't a hot day, but it was a warm day.
Yeah.
And I thought everybody, all the animals be asleep. But no, they were quite active and out there. And maybe, I guess it helped that we were there for like until the evening when they kind of started waking up again.
Yeah.
But yeah. And we had a few beach days and, you know, just cafe days and things like that. So that was fun, you know.
Yeah.
We took Mum out to a restaurant, didn't we, for lunch?
Yes, that was good, yeah.
Celebrate Mum's birthday.
Yep.
Yeah, so
yes.
Yeah, I what think I've we learned, had a great time.
Yeah, what I've learned recently with eating out now is that Damien, my, you know, oldest, your nephew, oldest son,
yes.
He just turned 12. He was one of the birthdays in January.
Yes.
And he, what is it? He's transitioned now from kids' meals to grown-ups. Oh. Yeah, so if he eats a kids' meal, he's still hungry. Yeah, so, at mum's cafe lunch, I ordered this, you know, this big burger with chips or whatever else. And Damien's like, oh, yeah, I'll have that too. I'm like, are you sure, son? But he finished it. So
he did,
So he'll be ordering adult meals from now on.
Yes. Yeah. I'm lucky we're still in the kids' meal zone, although Frankie still gets a bit hungry. So I know that when we, you know, sometimes visit McDonald's, he's onto the adult meals now. It's like no happy meals for me. But it's funny.
Yeah, no, it's been good. I bought a new piece of technology which I'm using right now, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up buying the new MacBook Air with the special Magic M1 chip. but my previous, so I had a MacBook Pro which I bought in. It was so officially it's called the late 2013 model. That's what the my info when you click the little apple and look at the info on your laptop. That's what it says it is. So I bought that in 2013. I've been using it for years and years, and I loved it. It's such a great laptop. But it wasn't keeping up with the way that like software was being updated. It was struggling to run multiple apps at once. So, like even during podcasting last year, especially towards the second half of last year, it was giving me a lot of trouble, like managing multiple sound inputs, multiple programs running at once, and it was just not handling it. So I did a lot of homework searching for, what device should I buy? I looked at Microsoft. I looked here and there. But you know what I found really interesting is as I was looking at videos and reviews of different people who had bought it, like these different devices, I was looking at the videos, not of when they first bought it. You know, when you first buy a technology, you're like, oh, this is amazing. Look what it got. Oh my gosh, it's got a button and, that has a fingerprint sensor and all this. But it's actually the videos where people do reviews 3 months later or 6 months later. And they tell you, is it still a great device? And the MacBook Air, the MacBook Pro that's in this line, is a little bit better. So it's obviously a bit faster, better battery life and whatever. But it's not a pro in the sense of having a giant graphics card and whatever, but it can handle more work than the one I've got. However, for my use, people were running really sort of advanced software on the MacBook Air and saying how it handled it. And I use software that's much less advanced. And I'm like, yep, okay, I can do this. So, I bought one and I love it. It's such a great device. And I love getting a new device and setting it up to the way I want it. And, so that's my nerdy excitement for,
Yeah, that's always exciting when you get a new toy.
Yeah. And one of the other great things is we're actually able to go back to mass now. It's happening.
Yes.
We actually haven't gone back yet. We've had a few, there was an outbreak in Victoria, not a big one, but there was an outbreak.
Yeah. I think it ended up being 27 cases, which in this grand scheme of things really isn't that many.
Yeah. We were just watching and waiting to make sure it would be okay. Again, I've talked in previous podcasts how we're a bit concerned about Alexander's health because of some hospital episodes he had at the start of last year. But things seem to be okay. So we've gone once or twice, but now we're hoping to start from this Sunday being regular again. We'll see how we go with that. But, it's interesting. Yeah. Like some Catholics or a lot of Catholics should say have just been able to go back. No problem. And I feel like there's been a whole lot of preparation for us. We haven't been able to just go back. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I fully understand that. And Like we went to Christmas Mass, which was awesome. But then the following day we found that there was a case that actually was at our church.
At our church, kind of, yeah.
Yeah. And so our church was in the news a bit, but luckily they were praising them for their great contact tracing and everything else. And no one else got sick. So, I mean, because we have all the measures, COVID safe plan measures in place. So only that person who was unwell was the only case. But and then after that, I was like, okay, I think I'm just going to wait a little bit longer.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
But I think, yeah, I think it's time to start thinking about perhaps going to mass, you know, physically now. But we'll see. We're at the same boat. We're like, I don't know yet. I'm not sure. We'll see on the day.
Yeah. But,
yeah. I mean, it was really good to go to mass physically. I just felt, I don't know, I just was so happy. I had such a happiness and inner joy inside me. Yeah. It just, you can't explain it, you know. It's like, oh, yeah, I missed this, you know.
Yeah.
After how long was it? 9 months?
Oh, long,
no, 11 months, 10, 11, yeah, it's like a long time of not going to mass.
Cut off for a long time. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. And it's just nice to see your parish priest in person rather than on a TV screen as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. We had a big, big handshake, which is awesome. He had big smiles. He was really happy to see everyone. And even the parishioners, to see your fellow parishioners.
Yeah, definitely. You know, catching up with people.
It's nice to see everybody again.
After so many months, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a great joy about that. Yeah.
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 For sure.
All right. Well, let's roll on. And we're going to let's go. So that's what's been happening with
us.
I
think this is going to be a bit long today. So
we've got a lot to unload.
You might want to have a break, have an intermission when you like.
Yep. So let's roll on. We'll get back into segments. We were having a very casual format. I think COVID hit us pretty hard last year, and we just thought we'll keep the show casual just so that we can cope with the demands of everything that was going on. But we're going to try and be a little bit more organized. We'll see how we go. So I haven't said this in a while, but let's start with a Faith Beyond Borders topic.
Well, I'm actually feeling rather good about this. I think we've all arrived at a very special place, eh?
Oh.
Spiritually, ecumenically.
How do you make somebody love you without affecting free will?
Welcome to my world, son. You come up with an answer to that one, you let me know.
Yes, I had to work very hard to pass Latin and theology.
Oh, quite. Those are, of course, the most important things.
Oh, yeah.
I'd sit this one out, Cap.
I don't see how I can.
These guys come from legend. They're basically gods.
There's only one God, man. And I'm pretty sure he doesn't dress like that.
All right, so for Faith Beyond Borders today, Caroline, I thought this was a relevant article for a lot of reasons, and once I read the title, I think a lot of people will as well. The article from Alatia, I think that's how you say it, is how to – whoops, hang on a second. There we go. The headline was hidden from me by a pop-up. How to have a fruitful disagreement with someone you love, according to St. Ignatius. So – I thought after reading it, because the article is very simple, it's a quick read, and I think it's a great one to share with others. It's let's look at the context we're in first of all. So you only need to have a quick look on the internet to see that people aren't always agreeing with each other. And it's not just on issues everywhere. It's also in the church too. So we've seen, and I'll be honest about it, I'm not going to go criticizing people because in previous episodes I've talked about how all of us are brothers and sisters in Christ in the church, regardless of, you know, of how we do church. I'll put it that lightly.
How we do.
That's just my way of trying to encompass everyone. If you look on Twitter, I mean, I've seen before, you know, the hashtag Catholic Twitter, and people, you know, and people will joke, oh, look at Catholic Twitter today, it's blown up. Or Twitter, you know, let alone Catholic Twitter, Twitter itself just blows up all the time. Sometimes you'll see, you know, a Facebook post by someone in the church, and you'll have positive comments and negative comments from people who are all apparently in the same church. You wouldn't be able to tell sometimes, by the way, that, let's say this. First of all, disagreement is good. Okay. If we all just agreed with each other, then we wouldn't be being authentic. All right. Because I suspect that the reason why there's disagreement in one sense, at least from the positive perspective, is because people are searching for truth. You know, people want truth. We want goodness. We want unity. We want Jesus, you know, from a Catholic perspective. So disagreement in that sense is good, because when we disagree, we can talk about how to do it better. The problem I'm kind of sensing is that people are not talking about how to do it better. You know, people are trying to, you know, score points off each other sometimes, or just disagreeing without listening, you know, or reading, you know, with reading people's words and maybe misinterpreting. You know, there's a lot of things I could do in my little analysis of what's happening. And you know, it's I know that there are probably a lot of Catholics like myself who just read without interacting generally. So when I see posts like this, I don't know what I can contribute without making it worse, even with good intentions. So I read, and sometimes I even despair over what I'm seeing between Catholics. You know, even Catholics who have been, you know, key to part of my own faith journey. You know, sometimes maybe they say things that I just think, how could you say that? You know, and I'm not naming names, and because again, I'm not here to put people down, because, like, again, they're on their faith journey too. And I do respect that. But the problem is, you know, people are kind of flaming each other. But what if we could disagree and actually listen to each other and talk and see where, you know, where we're coming from, and reorient all this discussion back towards Christ and not towards ourselves, I guess. I guess that's what I'm looking at. So I'll just give a very brief rundown of this article. It's about St. Ignatius and how he can help us to... It says disagreements with someone you love, but, you know, if we all love each other, which we're meant to, God loves us, God loves unconditionally, and we're called to be that love as well. What could we do to discern in these situations and listen and maybe have a better discussion than simply, you're a heretic because I disagree with you? Could we, you know, if we could avoid that language and do something else? So, in this article, it talks about seven attitudes which are attributed to Saint Ignatius for authentic discernment. They are openness, generosity, courage, interior freedom, prayerful reflection and examination, having your priorities straight and not confusing the means with the ends. It says here, if you don't have these attitudes, it will not be possible to discern well. So how can these attitudes be applied to disagreements? The first one was openness. This means coming to a decision without preconceived ideas. It's important that when you're arguing with someone, because if you can't listen to what they're saying, your conversation will be fruitless. So what we need to do, first of all, is learn where they're coming from. That's the openness part. The second one was generosity. It means that you need that you have to be ready and willing to change, or at least to understand the other side. Often it's easy to argue the crazy opinion you think someone holds than to understand what they actually think and why they've come to believe that. So what's the... So, you know, step one was drop your preconceived notions. Step two was find out why it is that they say what they're saying. Sometimes people can post things and they are absolutely dead set bananas crazy, right? But why? All right, and the, you know, it'd be immediately the easiest thing to do, be like, you're nuts, you know, to write, you're crazy. This is bizarre. You're a heretic. Instead of doing that, how about listening first? You know, trying to understand what it is that's being said. So the next step is courage. So this says here, courage is important because what you're discerning may be emotionally charged and sharing your side may be unpopular. So there will be a time where you need to say what has to be said. All right. And I would say that how you say it is also very important as well, not just, you know, burn heretic. I should stop saying that. Yeah. But you know, you could, you know, there are ways to say what you think in a way that continues a dialogue. You know, for example, you know, I can see what you're saying. I understand where you're coming from, and I'm grateful that I understand what you're coming from. Here are some of the disagreements that I have with what you're saying. I'm gonna list them now. Tell me what you think. And maybe we can have a great discussion about it. You know, there are ways. I don't know if Twitter gives you enough characters to do that, but you can start a thread, so it's okay. the next one is the interior freedom that they were talking about, and they say that this is necessary for discernment. You can't be free if you dance around what God is calling you to. If what God, sorry, I'll try that again. You can't be free if you dance around what God is calling you to and never fully commit to it. Or if you talk around the subject so much that you don't even focus on what needs to be done, and you aren't free either. So you need to have the interior freedom to speak, Sometimes when we have a discussion, we disagree with someone, we'll try to speak in what we consider to be the least offensive way. So, for example, saying things like, yeah, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, sure, all right. Yeah, well, I guess I can see what you're saying. Okay, bye. You know, like we try and give, I mean, in a good argument, it's not about giving ground necessarily, but it's about hearing and sharing what you want to say. And you need to have the freedom to say what it is that needs to be said as well. Again, charitably, but not too. Sometimes you can trap yourself by being too afraid also to say the things that need to be said. The fifth attitude is about prayerful reflection. And I would say this is probably a key one. I mean, without this, what's the point? If you aren't in the habit of reflecting on your life, it's your life, all right? Notice this, looking at yourself and praying regularly, you won't be able to discern well. Prayer and reflection help form your thoughts and opinions and thus directly affect your views on everything from political stances to questions of morality in daily life. So this is all about forming your conscience. So if you form your conscience through prayer, what you're doing is aligning yourself to the will of God, to the heart of Christ, which I guess is where any disagreement that we're part of, that maybe the position we should be coming from, is from the heart of Christ. You know, not the heart of Trump or Biden or, you know, name ex-politician here, you know. So putting God in that place of you know, through our prayer and our discernment. The fifth attitude is one of, the last two attitudes. And these are having your priorities in order and not confusing the means with the end. So if serving and loving God isn't your first priority, then you won't know how to prioritize decisions and everything will get muddy. So if you're having a discussion and you're not actually putting God first, maybe, I don't know, we do this, I do this, all right? So I'm guilty of this as well, of putting myself first, what I want first, or justifying the decisions of a politician, I'm not being political in the sense of any particular party, but, you know, I've seen political discussions online, and what I've seen is that people will bend over backwards to the point of, I don't know, breaking their backs to defend anything that their favorite politicians have done. Whatever side that might be on as well. It doesn't matter what decision they make, it's justifiable because they made it. That's it, full stop. No other reason. So what about God's priorities? What if we put those first and then measured our favorite politicians, our favorite topics against God's priorities? Maybe that might help us to see things, and it will make things less muddy and a lot clearer. So when you're arguing your point with someone, it's essential to have those priorities straight. And to make sure you're arguing for a good reason, which is the right end. And this is the last part. If you're going to engage in a argument with a family member, a friend, you know, someone online, what's the end that you're trying to achieve? Have an honest, charitable, Christ-centered end in mind as well. He says here in this article, instead, you should be presenting your thoughts to someone to help them serve and love God better. So actually in these arguments, maybe the point is evangelization. Is the way you argue, is opening the gospel? And it doesn't necessarily mean you have to go, well, the Bible says da da da, but maybe you are being the gospel. You're the only, you could be the only exposure of the gospel to a person in an online setting, in a discussion setting. It might be the first time they've heard anything or seen anything that's gospel-like. And if the first thing they hear is, you're going to hell, I mean, you know.
They'll be like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, okay, good. So I guess that means I don't need to worry about Christianity then. It's not important because clearly this is what all Christians, all Catholics are like.
Yeah.
Keeping in mind, of course, the courageous step, having the freedom to say what needs to be said. At the same time, what is the end? What is the goal that you're aiming for? And it is to give. It's to give God a, you know, it's to show who God is, again, the heart of Christ to someone else. And there are many ways to do that. So maybe that doesn't seem like an obvious connection. I'm just reading here. When the subject under debate is what to do for dinner tonight, but perhaps conceding to take out pad thai is a sacrifice for you that will help you grow in love for God and for your sister or brother or person online, whatever
it is.
Or husband, yeah. Or anyone. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, yeah, those are the seven steps of discernment in having a charitable argument. And now it says with someone you love, so, you know, someone who's close to you. But again, I think this could be applied to the online space. What are your thoughts, Caroline, about, you know, especially in the context that we're in? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, of course, if we're going to be talking about arguing on Twitter and wanting to kind of represent God well, you want to follow these steps, obviously. I think people tend to act on emotion first, you know, and they just see a statement, go, ah, no, I disagree with that. I'm going to write something. And then they not only make themselves look bad, but they're not presenting God well, even if they're trying to present him well. I mean, we need to do everything in love, don't we? Like, we've got to remember we're all created by God. We're all his children. Doesn't mean because we believe in God and someone else may not that they're not his child. Here they are. We do have to remember that. So, I mean, I read some comments by people. I read one the other day by a prominent scientist who I really, like, and I've seen him make many atheistic comments, and I just feel really sad because it's like, well, why do you have to go there? Like, really, why do you have to say comments like that? Don't you know that there are people who believe in God and also are scientists, you know? Doesn't mean because I believe in God that I'm totally ignorant and I'm stupid and, you know, I just blindly follow, you know, a pope or whatever. He was trying to say something to that effect. It's like, no, I do have a thinking mind as well. I don't blindly follow anything. And the reason why I'm in my faith is because I've thought about it a lot.
Yeah.
And I like it. So, you know, and I've decided that this is the path I want to follow. So I think it goes both ways. You know, we really need to, you can't just put out a statement out there. You've got to think about what you're writing and how it may affect other people. So, you know, that's what I'm kind of getting from this. But I think it applies a lot to personal relationships too. I guess it's the, you know, what it started out with. And, you know, we do need to kind of, you know, think of where the other person is coming from. And it's easy, like, you know, okay, my personality is a very, I can be calm, but I can also become very passionate. Okay, I'll put it lightly.
Sure, can't we all, yeah.
Yes, and, you know, I try very hard to understand, but sometimes I just don't get it. And I'm just like, but why? Why are you thinking like that? So when you're arguing with a loved one, it's like, I don't understand, you know. And so the first thing you want to do, is kind of react like, but no, that's stupid. Like, why would you think like that? But then you have to go step back and go, oh, actually, sorry. I shouldn't have said it like that. And go back, take a deep breath and start again. Have the conversation in a more calm setting. So, you know, so I think, yeah, I really like these points here. And even especially the one that stands out to me is having the courage to say what needs to be said. Because how easy is it to just, like you were saying, let someone say something and then you just go, even though you know that perhaps you should say something because it's probably better for that person, it takes a lot of courage to say something without, because it can be hurtful when you say the truth, you know. But sometimes it needs to be said. So you've got to, you know, try and find that courage and say it lovingly, not like, you stupid moron, you shouldn't be doing that because whatever, yeah. You know, yeah. Whatever way. You just say, well, okay, I understand where you're coming from, but have you thought about maybe it could be this way? You know, so having but fully knowing that the other person may get upset with you, because we are emotional, you know, especially, you know. So, I think, you know, there's
going. Oh, no, I was going to say, no, there's language you can use in these very difficult conversations. So I'm thinking, you know, in some conversations where I've been a big chicken and said nothing, But the problem is what I learned years ago from those conversations where someone would say something that I disagree with is that we've walked away from the conversation and I've given them the impression that I agree because I didn't have the courage to speak up. And again, it's not about having an argument in the sense of a heated, passionate, walk away, not liking each other argument, but you know, there's language you can use. Here's why I disagree with what you said, or maybe you know, you can say something like, "I think about this a bit differently. What do you think about this?" So you can offer things for people to say what they think, and I don't know. I think people appreciate that as well.
They do.
Yeah, and if they don't appreciate it,
depends on the setting too.
No, I was just gonna say, if they don't appreciate it, you've tried your best. At least you can walk away knowing you tried your best, and you've hopefully left the door open for that person when they've tempered their passions to say, "Oh yeah, okay, I was a bit of a jerk."
Yeah, very true. I mean, sometimes, I mean, the courage part is hard, especially like it depends on the setting. So if, for example, I'm at work and most of the people I work with are atheist, so, or they maybe have a slightly different belief in God than I do, or, you know, they may be of a, yeah, they believe in God, but they don't believe everything I do or whatever. And so I may be more, I guess, what would you class it as? What's the word? Yeah, losing the word, but quite traditional, where other people are not. And so for me, I find it really difficult sometimes to open up and say, well, I don't actually believe that, and or I don't believe the same thing as you. Or sometimes you just, yeah, like you said, you just nod and smile and just let them believe that you do believe what they believe, you know. I guess at work it's like a place where you kind of want to keep the peace because you've got to go there and you've got to see these people every day and you've got to work with them, and so you don't want to have any personal stuff in the middle, you know. You just want to keep it professional. With friends, I guess you could feel a little bit more courageous and just hope they like you again still after you say something. I mean, I've had discussions where somebody believed in, energies from the planets and all of that. And I'm like, well, I've kind of got more of a scientific view of planets, and I don't really believe that, you know, aligning in this way or that can give you certain characteristics or whatever. And they really didn't like it. I didn't expect that they would.
Yeah, I feel like there's a Jimmy Akin's Mysterious World episode about that somewhere.
Yes,
that
was so true. Yeah. That's so true. I mean, so the energies from planets for me are purely, you know, in a physics kind of chemistry level rather than, you know, and all of the maths and all that rather than anything supernatural, I guess. But I've had that disagreement and my friend didn't take it well, and I was very surprised they were not that open either. See, you want your friend to be open to your ideas, but they may not be as well. So we have to expect that. But if you're really good friends, then it's okay. Then you'll get past it. But, I mean, and then family members, I guess you feel more courageous to just say what you think.
They just say, yeah, that's all right. Yeah, we're a Maltese family.
It tends to blow over. Yeah, I mean, we're always blowing up at each other and it just blows over because that's just how we are. So
you can hear our disagreements from space. Yeah,
that's it. Yeah, I'm sure my neighbors hear it.
We're not necessarily even shouting at each other. It's like
no.
Just loud conversation.
We just loudly disagree. Yeah. But yeah, that's a good article.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for those insights too. So we'd love to know what anyone who's listening, have you managed to argue well, or have you got it wrong completely and learned something from it? Let us know. We'd love to hear more about that. So let's move on. And Caroline, I'm going to hand it over to you because now we're going to talk about some science.
Ah, what a fine day for science.
You have any hobbies?
I collect spores, molds, and fungus.
Can you reverse the polarity?
I'll do my best.
So, Caroline, I mean, a lot has happened between, it always does in the scientific world and the space world, happens. And so we can't cover everything. Otherwise, this would be a 4-hour podcast.
It'd be a science podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. And in fact, if we covered everything, we'd be talking about Starship every episode. You know, like that, and
the latest firing.
Yeah. But, But you do have something about, and because this is exciting, because February is going to be a big month for Mars.
Yes.
From memory, the United Arab Emirates, I think it was Hope, their mission, I forgot what it's called now, but their mission, will be arriving in Mars orbit in February. Mars Perseverance in February at some stage will be landing. Mm-hmm. Their lander is going to land, and the little drone is going to have a little fly as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's happening, Caroline? What do we need to know in the world of science at this point?
So we know that Perseverance is going to land on February 18th. Okay. Now, it may be that – okay, well, let me just tell you quickly. I'll just do a brief overview what Perseverance is going to do because I like to give you that background. So
it is, and because it's amazing, yeah.
It's amazing. So Perseverance is going to be landing at the Jezero crater, which is an area that was once flooded with water on Mars, and it's also home to a river delta. And so what its mission is to do is to try and find evidence of past microbial life. I am secretly also hoping that maybe there's some current microbial life, but we don't know.
That would be awesome, yeah.
We don't know. And tucked away on the side, as it's flying along, there's a little helicopter drone called Ingenuity. So they say it's about a tissue box size little helicopter drone, and they're just going to be doing some test flights on that. So they're just going to be fly, land. So just to see if we can actually fly anything on Mars, because the atmosphere is kind of less dense than Earth. It's different, and they actually have to make the rotors spin a lot faster to be able to fly, and the pressure's different, and temperature is very cold compared to Earth. It's mostly in the negatives, and so that's going to be very interesting. They just want to see if they were saying they've got mostly off the shelf parts to make this drone, so
yep.
Let's see how it goes.
Okay. What it does,
so that will be interesting. But when Perseverance actually enters the atmosphere and lands, we might be able to hear it or at least feel the seismic activity from another little mission that was sent to Mars in November 2018, and it's called the InSight mission. So it's been sitting there since 2018. And what this mission has been doing, this is not a rover, it's just kind of static little laboratory, I guess you could call it. So it's just a little bunch of instruments. So its main goal is to study the interior structure of Mars. So try and understand a little bit more of what's going on in Mars, measuring tectonic activity using a seismometer. And it has a heat flow probe, which they've called the MOLE, which was intended to measure how much heat was flowing out of Mars. So, you know, to see if it's like hot inside, exactly like, you know, does it have a hot core like Earth? You know, is it slowly cooling down? Unfortunately, it didn't get to dig as far as they wanted it to, because the soil was not as soft as they thought it would be. So in past Mars missions, the sand is like the surface has been sandy, and they thought, okay, so we could drill down. Unfortunately, in the particular spot it's landed, it's like about near the equator, it's compact, and they haven't been able to drill down very far. But they have learnt, if you want to drill over here, you kind of have to use a hammering motion rather than a drilling motion. So that's that. So
I've got a hammer drill in the shed if they want to borrow that.
I think they'll need it. So I just read that the InSight mission is going to be extended now to December 2022. So it's going to be sitting there. It also has a weather station on it, so it's measuring temperature, wind, and barometric pressure. As a side note, I know I have a lot of side notes because they're very interesting, but you can go to the InSight mission webpage through NASA, and you can go and have a look at the current weather on Mars, looking at the wind, the temperature, and the pressure. Currently, it looks only like the pressure probe is kind of working at the moment. The wind and the temperature, I can't see. maybe there's a communication error or something. But it's really cool because my job entails me looking at graphs a lot.
Yeah, this is your actual job. Yeah.
So I had a look Earth. At, yeah, so this is my earthly job. So I do look at, apart from emissions data, I also look at MET data. So, and they've got some very interesting graphs that from the mission where they have measured the wind. And so I'll just quickly describe what.
Give us a weather update.
I'll give you a quick.
I'm planning on going to Mars in about 6 months. So what can I expect? Do I need an umbrella or?
You may.
Sunscreen.
Sunscreen, most likely, yes. So over.
SPF 1000.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Yeah, and a space suit and a. Probably sit inside a capsule of some sort. But the air temperature, so I'm looking from 2019 through to the end of 2021. There's a lot of gaps in the data at the end of 2021, so it might be communication or something. I'm not sure what's happening there. They don't say the instruments aren't working, so I'm not sure. Anyway, so I can see if I'm looking at the graphs here, the temperature in Celsius is down to nearly and sometimes below negative 100 degrees Celsius. And then it doesn't go much above 0 degrees Celsius. So maybe in the low, it may be a bit cool.
Better bring a jacket.
Like middle of winter here, you know, in Melbourne.
Yeah.
That's the daytime temperatures, mind you. So.
Oh, wow.
Pretty low pressure in pascals, so between about 600 and 800 pascals. Wind speed gets from 0 to about, where are we here? The most was about 30 meters per second. And then the wind direction is mostly between 180 and 360 degrees. So, yeah, you can... It's mostly from one direction, which is very interesting. So you're not one direction, but that variation of direction. So that's pretty cool data to look at. So
Caroline loves this stuff. I have to tell everyone. This is what she does for a living, like looking at this stuff on Earth. So
yeah, so looking at it from another planet is awesome. Yeah, you can tell so much from this information. So anyway, they're going to keep the weather station going, as I've mentioned, and the seismometer, so they're hoping to get like a long-term data set measuring Mars quakes. That would be really cool. And apparently the quakes don't get more than like about 4 or so. So, so they're not very strong and they're wondering about that. So the more information they get about that, it tells you a lot about the planet. So getting back to how we link insight and perseverance. Okay. So insight is hoping to pick up some seismic activity from the entry of perseverance and landing. So insight will be about 3,200 kilometers away. So that's why they're thinking they may be able to pick some information up. And it's not been done before. So it's an interesting experiment. So here we go. Perseverance will be entering the Martian atmosphere. So there's a process called the entry, descent, and landing strategy. It's called the EDL. So enters the Martian atmosphere. There's a supersonic parachute that will help the vehicle to decelerate. About 7 minutes later, a rocket-powered crane will lower Perseverance gently to the ground using cables.
The rocket crane, I should say, is the coolest part of this.
It is. It's very cool. And then the top bit kind of just shoots off and lands somewhere else, crashes lands, may I say.
Okay, so get it out of there, as far as it can go, yeah.
That's it. So during this process, there are two potential sources of seismic waves. So there's the sonic boom when Perseverance gets within about 100 kilometers of the Mars surface. And then there is a surface impact. Now, this happened with the Curiosity rover landing in 2010. So what happens is as Mars, as the rover hits the atmosphere of Mars, two Crohn's mass balance devices are ejected, and these are to alter the center of mass of the craft. And they'll be dropped from, get this, 1,450 kilometers up high. And then they'll hit at a velocity of about 14,000 kilometers per hour. So it's going to make quite an impact. And they're hoping that these are what the seismometer are going to pick up from InSight. So, and then they, from that, they, there's a bit of seismic science, I guess you can call. So they're going to measure how fast and far the waves have traveled using that seismometer. So it's pretty cool stuff.
It sounds like, you know, like people would be thinking, why would they be doing this? You know, what's the important? But this is like really important science, and it's amazing. Is. Like the more data they can collect, the more we know about this place.
Yes.
It's just, my mind is blown, like just with the amount of information they can collect about Mars with the limited instruments they have there at the moment.
Well, that's it. And that's why they're extending the older missions. Like they've also extended the Juno mission, which is around Jupiter. And because they've already got them there. One, it's a lot cheaper to have an old mission running. So if it still works, doesn't make sense to cut it off and put a new one into space and land it. So you've got some working instruments, let's keep them going. And when you do that, when another mission comes along, if it's able to, you're able to, you know, mix your measurement, like, you know, get information from each other from two different missions.
Multiple sources.
Why not?
Exactly.
And, you know, when you read an article about a planet, about whatever, this kind of data is where they get the information from. It may say, oh, yeah, I'm measuring the temperature. Yeah, but we're measuring the temperature. We're finding out a lot of information from the temperature or the pressure or, you know, the wind or, you know, there's so much you can you kind of infer from this kind of data. So, yeah, awesome. But that, let me say, is not the end of it, because just a couple of quick ones. Perseverance is actually going to have two microphones on it itself. So we may be able to hear the EDL process, so it might be out of your parachutes, might be how to hear it going through the atmosphere, I'm not sure, but we're going to see. And then there's another microphone on the SuperCan system, which kind of like its arm, so we'll be able to hear some zapping of, you know, vaporizing rock and wheels turning or the arm moving. So because the microphone's going to be able to point to whatever it's doing, so some more raw sounds, they call it, from Mars, because these are things haven't heard before. Other thing they're hoping with the seismometer is maybe to kind of sense when the Tianwen mission lands.
Yes, and that's the next thing I was going to mention, but go on, yeah.
That's right. Yep. Sorry, I took your thunder there, stole your thunder.
No, that's fine. Go on.
But, yeah, February 10, that will be landing. They're not sure if they're going to catch that one because they don't actually have a lot of detail, like, I don't know if they don't have location and landing time for that one. Elon Musk has had a little say. He said, well, if your InSight is still going when I land my Starships in 2024, hopefully, we'll see. if InSight's still going, we'll be able to hear those landings. So that would be very interesting.
Can you listen to my Starship as well?
So let's see. I have 2024. It's not that far away, quite ambitious, but let's see how we go with that.
Well, some people are speculating that we could see a Starship fully mounted on that massive first stage at the end of this year, like a test flight going into the atmosphere. So I mean, we could see that happening this year or early next year.
That would be cool.
Yeah, which will be unreal. It will just
be amazing. Yeah. I mean, you and I
watching
go
this
crazy.
Giant stainless steel.
We go crazy over the test fires and the test flight that happened. Oh my gosh, we already raved about that. But
speechless about that. Yeah, yes. We have been watching static fires. This is just where the next variant of Starship is on the ground, and they activate the engines for about 5 seconds, you know.
Yeah.
And we here go, we are. Yay. I just watched like hours. I leave it running in the background just hours and hours, and then it's like, oh, there it is. There's that 3 seconds of, you know,
just for it's a very short burst.
Yeah. Just on the Chinese mission. So just a brief thing. So we'll get more information about that when that happens. But like their mission, they've got like a 3-in-1 thing, my understanding. So they're going to have. There'll be a satellite in orbit. There'll be a sitting station on the ground, like the what was the other mission you mentioned? Anyway, like that one.
InSight.
Yes, and then they'll have a rover as well, so doing its thing. So There's going to be a lot of information coming back from Mars, and that's better for all of us, because when someone finally does go there, they'll be warned, like armed with as much info as they can about landing conditions, weather, surface.
Can you actually grow potatoes in the ground? You know, that
kind of
thing.
Can you grow them in the grounds? Yeah. Well, yeah, there's a movie about that. Can you fly like Iron Man in a space? Oh my gosh. Anyway, that's just silly.
Yeah, I know. Dumb.
Yeah, the rest of that movie was awesome. Yeah.
It was pretty good film, just for us. Anyway.
It was a great film. Yeah. Love it. Just briefly, Caroline, one other thing that's kind of science space related. It's a bit of a tangent. However, you received a birthday gift, a rather large one, a space related one. Tell us about that briefly. I'm very jealous.
Okay, I'm going to reveal my age here. Okay, so I turned 42 this year. And my husband gave me a very special present, which was the Lego set of the Saturn V
yes.
rocket. Oh, my gosh.
That's so good.
I kept raving on about it and I'm like, oh, it's too much. I can't justify buying it, which for what it is, it was not that expensive, I thought.
But, that's true. The price is actually decent for it, yeah.
Yeah. So
considering what it is.
Yeah. It's a really big model.
How many
model.
Pieces is this monster? Yeah.
So,
how many pieces was it?
It's very easy to know how many pieces is because 1,969 pieces, which is very clever because that is the year of the what?
Well, of the moon landing, yeah.
Exactly, of the Apollo 11 moon landing. So,
very smart.
Yes, and we're almost finished with it. You know, still had a couple of days off when I received it, so I was able to concentrate on building it. We have done the first and second stage completely, and now we've got the third stage almost done, and then we've got the rest of the top, you know, the command module and all of the lander and everything to complete. But it's very tall. It's about a meter tall, and
oh wow,
it's quite a dense, like it's unbelievable because all the pieces inside, the structure is quite unbelievable to make a round, you know, to make a cylinder. And then you have to make it pretty with the casing on the outside, and it's got all the NASA and United States on the outside, and you know, and then to make it stand up, like, you know, it's really cool. So yeah, I'm a 42-year-old mother who still loves making Lego.
I get the feeling you're not the only person in their 40s, you know, like me, late 30s, very late 30s to me now, who likes Lego.
Almost
I think there are a lot of
30s.
People who are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's been really
cool.
Fun. I've been loving it. It's a really fun set to build. And, you know, my son, Frankie, who's turned 9 now, you know, there's no way he's letting me build it on my own. So we sit down.
No way.
Yeah. And he builds it until he gets bored and goes away. And then I finish it until.
Take over. Yeah, cool.
So, it's been.
That's brilliant.
Super fun. Yep.
Yeah. Good work. I was going to say, what is it? I know that I forgot where it was now. It's gone blank. But in the United States, they do have a Saturn V rocket that you can sort of walk the length of. Which I would love to do one day. That would be,
Just
to get the scope of how big this monster is,
Yes, no. Yeah, I guess it's one thing to see it. Like, we've only ever seen it on TV or YouTube or whatever.
Yeah.
To actually see it. You can get a sense of how large they are, but, you really want to see it.
In real life, it'd be something else, yeah. All right, let's roll on from there. Let's talk about what's been entertaining us.
Not what we came here to do.
No, but it's what I'm going to do.
I have a plan. You've got a plan. I have part of a plan.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
So we've got a couple of things to go through. So, and if there's anything not on the list, Caroline, just feel free to mention it as well. We wanted to talk about things that we've been watching, reading, whatever else. But before we do, I came across a blog. It's called Pigletish, and the author of this blog, her focus is on mental health. She mentions that she's struggled with post-traumatic stress disorder. And one of the symptoms that she sort of has is that she's not afraid to go outdoors, but she is anxious about being around crowds and around people. And now she's in the UK, and they're obviously going through a pretty awful situation with COVID at the moment. Before I go on, we're going, you know, fairly well, or very well, I should say, compared to the rest of the world with COVID now after what we've been through. But we haven't forgotten you, wherever you are, the United States or the UK or anywhere else in the world, some India and other places. You know, we haven't forgotten, and we don't take for granted for a second what we have. And we are praying for all of you, and we're with you as well. We certainly understand how terrible that situation can be, and we hope you get through it really soon. She's obviously living in that situation as well. And what she did was, is she put together a blog post of 100 places you can go to without leaving the house. And I thought it'd be fun if we, before the show, if we went and visited some of these places and then left a link in the show notes for anyone who's listening. If you can't get out of the house, there are plenty of places you can go online. So, Caroline, where have you been recently? Are there any places you visited from this list?
Oh, my favorite one, I have to say. Like, there were heaps of good ones, including space ones, but I chose an Earth one.
There are a few space ones, yeah.
was to Hawaii, because it's one of the places I would love to go to sometime. But to learn about the volcanoes of Hawaii and, you know, that was pretty amazing. And you hear there's a lady who speaks and tells you about the area and, you know, and the, I guess the Hawaiian beliefs about the volcano and things like that and the stories behind it. And, it was lovely, beautiful, and just makes me want to go more, which is quite frustrating because we can't go anywhere.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But, yeah, you can experience something of it.
Exactly. Yeah. But it was really good because it's like you're taking a tour without actually having to go to the place physically, which, it's really good. Really enjoyed that one.
Yeah. That's awesome. I took a helicopter flight over Mount Everest, which was really cool.
Cool.
I didn't have to wear the oxygen that the pilot had. And the cool thing about this, so it's a YouTube video, but it's made for VR. So I haven't got a VR headset, but you can still use your mouse to move the video around, and you can see around there. You can look up, down, everywhere, you know, look at the interior of the helicopter, look out the window.
Cool.
So get this nice, you know, scope. And, you know, there's a voiceover explaining what's happening as you go along and stuff. That was really good. There was a walk through the forest of the Amazon. That was pretty nice. Now, the one thing that was a bit of a letdown is it's kind of like a Google Maps, you know, street view kind of experience. So you're kind of like click, click, click. I would actually like one where, you know, where it's like, I'm sure they exist, where there's a camera on a person who's walking through and you can just take the stroll with them or, you know, something like that. I also went to the Sistine Chapel and had a look around. That was a lot of fun.
Cool.
Yeah. I've actually been there in person, which is cool.
We went together when we were kids.
Yes. Yeah. And so I've been twice then.
Yes, you've been twice, remember?
Oh, we did.
Yes.
Right.
And then you went with your
family. The childhood one I forgot about. Yes. Yes. Yeah, of course.
I think you were feeling a bit unwell that day, though.
Yes. I think that day in Italy I was a bit,
we were
I was
kids,
a sick child. But yeah. I'm just going through the list. What else? Oh, I went whale watching. That was really nice.
Awesome.
Oh, the footage. Oh, my gosh. It's like it's an above, you know, it's a bird's eye view of the whales, but it's really high definition. Oh, it's filmed so beautifully. So, you know, things like that. And I also went to a couple of zoos. So this happened in Australia, but there are some zoos around the world.
Yeah.
Now, I can see Australian animals when I want, but you know, if I want to see, and I can see some, you know, animals from other countries too, but if I want to see like polar bears and whatever else, I need to go to,
pandas.
You know.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. I need to go to, I think it was San Diego Zoo was one that had a live camera, you know, there's a few, a few things like that. So you can just sit and watch animals live, see what they're doing in their zoos around the world. Yeah,
we did watch a few of those during lockdown.
Yeah, same here. It was great. I watched the penguins from
The penguin parade.
You know, Melbourne Zoo.
Philip Island.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. I did see, now it hasn't come up yet. It's sometime in February. There was I don't know what this is going to be like, but there's an Animal Crossing stand-up comedy special. I don't know. I'll see if I
I'm
can
gonna
get
look
that
into
time.
That. I've got Animal Crossing.
Sometime in Feb, but yeah, I've got Animal Crossing on our Amazon, what is it, our Kindle, what is it, TV stick thing?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I'm sure that's the official name. Yeah, you can play it on that. So
me
and the family sit down
that's
and play
cool.
it sometimes. Yeah. Yeah, it's an app there. Awesome. Alexander loves it. Yeah. He's like, play chicken. They want to play chicken. Cool. Yeah. But there's a few. Yeah, I haven't done these, but you can go to Niagara Falls. You can visit burrowing owls. What else was there? You can go to the moon and look around the moon. Yes. There's a, there's lots of museums. I did go to the, was it the National Museum, I think? The National Gallery. It's like an art gallery. So this one is great because the, you can walk around again, like a Google Street View, but you can see the images so clearly, high definition, which is great.
And without people in front of you.
Yeah, true. The only letdown is you can't read the descriptions on the wall, so I don't know what I'm looking at. They're blurry.
They really should have done something about that, doesn't it?
Yeah. However, if you're an art lover, I mean, you know, there's a lot there. Go to the Eiffel Tower if you want to.
Oh, yeah.
I've already been there, so it doesn't matter.
I've been there.
Haven't
we all? Yeah.
People are going to think I jet set all the time, but actually I haven't taken that many international holidays, to be honest. But yeah. I just happened to have a good one when I went. Yeah. So that's we'll leave a link to the show notes. And if you want to go visit a place around the world that you can't visit, maybe it's good for your kids. Maybe you've got an elderly person in the house who, you know, or maybe it's just you. You just need a bit of escape time. Go ahead. The other one that that Caroline and I like, we've mentioned already, it's not on the list, is we both go to Boca Chica in Texas quite often.
Yes, we do.
through, I think it's Lab Padre. They have a NASA space flight. They have live cameras there 24 hours going on. So we watch.
Just put it on. Yeah.
Even when nothing's happening with Starship, you can just see it there.
I've done that while I've been working from home. Just put it on the YouTube too. There's another one I wanted to mention.
What's the staff there? Yeah, go on.
Yeah, so Mum actually just sent me this link a couple of days ago. It was a link to the British Museum. They had a live event earlier in 2020. But what they did, they set up a big Vikings exhibition, so lots of artifacts from the Vikings. Amazing, amazing artifacts, I have to say, like jewellery and coins and like someone had a hoard of coins from different places around the world. So it's like you could tell that they'd been trading from all these different places around the
brilliant.
World. They had lots of currency from different places. They had part of a Viking ship and then they constructed around it what the ship would have looked like. Jewelry, like a lot of women's jewelry, it was like their brooches where they held up the dresses on the shoulders and they had a middle brooch. Just so much stuff. And they had a lot of information about the Vikings that I didn't know. They had, you know, some prominent documentarians, which I've seen their documentaries on other topics as before as well. You know, the archaeologists and things like that. So it was so good to watch that one. And then I started watching, they had another one on Pompeii. They've set up a similar one. Yeah, I can't get enough of Pompeii because it's so amazing, so well preserved.
Oh, Pompeii's a great,
I would love to go sometime and see it for myself. But one thing they were saying about that is like, okay, you can see all the amazing things, like there's a few like dishes from rich people and stuff like that, but they're saying, you know, Pompeii really wasn't that special. It was kind of like a one-horse town and it just happened to be preserved, you know. So
yes,
we can see, you know, how they lived.
That's the exciting part
exactly.
of it,
exactly. And there's Herculaneum not too far away, which is also quite well preserved you know, because they had the big volcanic eruption. And, you know, they're saying that maybe about 50% of the population were actually freed slaves. So, you know, because there were a lot of slaves.
Wow.
During those times. So, but a lot of them were freed and then they could become Roman citizens and have a Roman life. So, they were saying, you know, don't think that these were like especially opulent, you know, ways of living. These were just kind of how they lived, you know. It was normal to kind of paint your wall and you know, all the food they ate. This is just what they ate, you know. So
just normal, yeah.
Yeah, it just happens that there were a few rich people that lived here and so we've got their, you know, their artifacts survive, so we get to see that. Oh, I learned so much. So, yeah, those are pretty interesting. If you look up British Museum Live on YouTube, you'll be able to
see those. Great tip, Love it. All right, well, let's talk about some other things really. I'm just watching time as well, briefly. You encouraged me to start watching WandaVision on Disney Plus, and I'm glad I did. I watched the first two episodes. Obviously, we'll be very spoiler-free. My first observation is great move that they're doing the Mandalorian thing and just making the episode lengths whatever they feel it needs to be to tell the story. rather than being stuck with a, you know, let's make it 45 minutes each time or whatever. So,
yeah.
And I'm surprised by how much I like it. I didn't think it was, I looked at the trailers, I'm like, what, is this going to be like I Love Lucy or something, you know? But I'm really impressed. And I actually found myself laughing at some of the humor.
Yes.
So they really bring you in. They make you laugh. They throw the serious bits at you. Yeah, it was, I'm really impressed. What are your early thoughts?
Oh, yeah. I think because I actually used to love watching like Bewitched and, I Dream of Jeannie and I Love Lucy. Like it's got that kind of humor. Like the first, I won't say too much, but it is set up like that. So the characters, they're like different to how they are in the Avengers, obviously, but they kind of transform it back in time and behave in those comical ways. And it's very sweet, like the little story between them, you know, between Wanda and Vision, and it's the same storyline but put in a different context, which I didn't expect to enjoy, but I actually adored it, and I cannot wait to see more because they hint at more happening. And,
oh, yeah, yeah.
And I'm so keen to see what happens next. Like, if you think it's a bit slow when you first start it, please hang in there because I have a feeling it's going to become amazing. So
the first two episodes which they released were just a big tease, really.
They were.
The whole thing is, like, obviously this is more than what it appears to be. What I thought was brilliant about the very first episode with the whole I Love Lucy format, because I used to watch some of that, you know, with you when we were little kids, you know. Obviously reruns, not when it first came out. But the thing is, what is it? The storyline that they're in is such a typical, you know, storyline that you see from that, you know, like the husband and the wife doing exactly the same thing but misunderstanding what that thing actually is.
Funny.
That kind of situation that gets set up. Yeah, it's so like that. So, I mean, credit to the writers for being able to, you know, they are writing these big Avengers stories and whatever and managing to capture that spirit and transplant that into the Marvel Universe. That was really well done.
And then they put, like, an old-timey commercial break in it, and it just like reflects,
which are really
the
sinister
time. They are
the commercial breaks are a bit sinister, there's hints
there's a lot we don't want to say too much, but I think it's
there
the
are just
tip
these
for me
same here. Through the show there are moments where there are long pauses on a character and it's like, this is a bit too long, you know, like on purpose. Yeah,
it's
I love it.
It's very well done. Yeah. And I mean, because a lot of the other spin-off shows, I guess, are just, they're still the same. They're like action, set in modern day. They're like all, you know, modern technology, everything like that. This was so refreshing because it took a completely different angle. And I think
I think
that's what I really loved about it. It's like, wow, this is
definitely
thinking out of the box, 100%. So love it.
Yeah. Can't wait to see where it goes. Another show that I've been watching, The Expanse is back, baby. My goodness. One of the most rewatchable shows on streaming, I reckon. I don't know why, but I'm actually rewatching the series again for like the fourth time, since it came out. I don't know what it is. The story is so well done. The characters are great. It's not for kids. It can be quite, you know, graphic in its, you know, in some of the violence that's in there. It's the violence isn't often, but when it is, it's like, oh, okay, whoops. But again, it's not like, you know, sometimes there's violence where it's like, oh, why did they put that in there? At least it has a bit of context. But the thing is, the storytelling, the mystery of what's going on, the idea of these characters who are, you know, who are small players who are caught up in something bigger than themselves. They've just got the formula right. And there's a range of characters doing a bunch of different things that are all connected in some way, shape or form. And I just love what they've done with it. So they've followed the Disney format. This time they released the first three episodes and now in Australia, every Wednesday, a new episode comes out. So we're getting close to the end, but each time I'm like, oh, you know, when it gets there, it's like, why did you stop there? I want to see what happens next.
I might have to get on that train. I still haven't got there yet.
First season, it's a bit of a stumbling block because the first few episodes are a bit slow. Yeah, it's very much, the first season is very much a mystery kind of thing going on. And it's complex, and it took me about three goes of watching the first season to actually understand most of what was going on. Oh, but man, I love it. It's such a good series. So that, yeah, I can't recommend The Expanse enough. I've started reading fiction again. I haven't been able to read, I don't know, last year just took it all out of me. So I've started, very briefly, I've just started reading Isaac Asimov's Foundation series. Ooh. A friend of mine at work was raving about it, and Apple is producing a series. If you read it, you can be one of two minds. You can think, this is really boring because it's just people talking. Or if you're interested in, like, it's almost like galactic politics with high stakes, then it's really interesting. And I'm actually enjoying it because there's no action at all. There's no, like, explosions, spaceship fights or whatever.
James Bond.
They talk about, yeah, well, they kind of talk about things that have happened or are going to happen. But there's actually a lot riding on the decisions they make. The whole premise is that the Galactic Empire has stood for thousands of years, but it's in a state of decline. And I think he's called a psychohistorian, but he is able to, or psychic historian, I forgot. Anyway, he, through mathematics, he has looked at the trends and seen that the empire is crumbling, and no one else really believes him. But he's, through political pressure, he manipulates leaders into allowing him to set up a foundation on a planet far, far away, where they will preserve the empire. But the foundation is threatened by, like, local planetary systems and warlords and whatever.
Sounds so familiar.
Yeah, it is. But they have to continually manipulate these warlords in different ways to preserve. Because what's at stake is that if the foundation doesn't succeed, the decay and the chaos is going to last for 30,000 years as opposed to 1,000 years. So this book, don't get used to any characters because it just spans over hundreds of years, the first book. And I think the idea of the three books is they span over 1,000 years. It's really interesting. Yeah, so I've enjoyed that. And the last thing is, and I haven't told you this yet. I only found out this morning. Star Trek Lower Decks is on Amazon Prime in Australia. Woo! So if you haven't seen Star Trek Lower Decks yet, it is now available internationally, and you must go and laugh along and tell me all about it. So, Caroline, after this episode, go and watch it.
I will definitely watch that. That will be so cool.
Yes. It gets funnier and funnier as the season goes along, I reckon. Yeah.
It's can't great. Wait.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah. Anything else you want to add, or should we wrap it up here?
Yeah. I mean, I guess just quickly become reacquainted with Jackie Chan films, just because my son just, like, we watched yes. one, and then we went back in fun. Time yeah. and we watched, like, from the beginning when he started getting into it. They're amazing. It's so funny. So the action, the martial arts, it's just so cool.
Have you seen the original Police Story yet?
What one was I watching? I was watching the Drunken, what was it?
Drunken
Master.
That was
awesome. No, I haven't seen that. That's what I want to watch next. So that will be cool. I think I got it off Netflix or something. So yeah.
When anyone watches Police Story, you just have to think about how do they do these stunts, because they look so dangerous. Yeah. A lot of people must have got hurt in the filming of that show.
I think they do get hurt. Yeah. And then they laugh about it after.
Yeah. But there's one scene that blew me away, and it happens in a shopping center, and it involves a stunt of sliding down a pole. I won't say any more, but you just have to watch it.
I'll put that on the list.
It is stunning. Yeah. And Police Story is great.
Yeah, no. I mean, Jackie Chan, I guess he's been more Hollywoodized lately, but the earlier films were...
Yeah, watch his original stuff. It's awesome. Yeah.
Fantastic, fantastic stuff. And then, okay, it might be a bit lame to some people, but we've started watching The Office, the American one. I started from season one because I've watched a few episodes, but, like, on and off, and they were kind of the later
Same
seasons.
Here. Yeah.
yeah. But yeah. I just clicked on it one day, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to watch it.
Let's have a go.
And, okay, it's not for watching with your children, but it's funny. It's pretty funny. And Steve Carell, he's a crazy genius. He's just so funny. He's just got he doesn't hold back on anything. Like,
no filter.
Just so funny.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been watching. Judge me or if you like, but yeah.
So, I'm sure you have lots of people sympathetic.
Plus lots of documentaries about everything in between. So yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. So
all right. Well, yeah. Cool. There's lots to watch at the moment.
Yeah.
All right. So let's wrap it up there today for today before we get into a 2-hour episode.
I know.
Yeah. All day long. So first of all, we want to thank you all for joining us for episode 48 of The Catholics of Oz, our first episode for 2021. So it's so good to be back. So there's something new. Now is actually a great time if you'd like to become a patron of StarQuest. Thanks to the generous gift from a StarQuest supporter, when you start a new Patreon monthly pledge at sqpn.com/give, the first 3 months will be matched by an equal amount from our donor. So if you become a new patron at $10 a month, after 3 months, our donor will give $30 to StarQuest to support all of our shows, including this one, making your gifts go even further. If you've been thinking about becoming a StarQuest patron, or a Star Trek patron, either one, but especially a StarQuest patron, now is the time, and you can visit sqpn.com/give today. And before we go, we'd also want to thank some patrons as well who make the Catholics of Oz possible. We'd like to thank Sarah M., Greg T., Margaret B., Nathan A. and Tom G. Through their generous donations at sqpn.com/give, they make it possible for the Catholics of Oz and all of the shows on StarQuest to continue. So you can, again, join them at sqpn.com/give. So we thank those patrons very much. And also please remember all of the shows in your prayers as well, because that is equally, if not more, important as well. But also, please let us know your thoughts from what we've discussed today. You can send us feedback by visiting sqpn.com/oz. Spelt OZ, where you can also find our show notes as well and links from everything that we talked about today. You can also find SQPN's Facebook page again at facebook.com/StarQuestMedia. And also, don't forget, Catholics of Oz has its own Facebook page. You can find us at facebook.com/Catholics of Oz and join discussions of our episodes there, and we'd love to have you along. So, Caroline, thank you very much for joining me for today's episode of The Catholics of Oz.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me rant on about space.
Rant away. We've got to get all of that out of our system. Yes. Yep, for our first
one.
It's been
a long time.
Yeah, excellent. And once again, I'm Lindsay Sant, and thank you for joining us for episode 48 of The Catholics of Oz on StarQuest.